Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of you on Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us today. Here it is, Sunday, 17 March 2024. My goodness sakes alive. We are doing it now.
There it is, Sunday.
Turn that one in there. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So welcome. Welcome to those of you on YouTube. Click the right button. Here it is. Click the right button. There we go. Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to you. It's Sunday morning. 1 hour of faith and communion. And we have been in our... In a series here, Brother Scott, welcome. Good to have you with us today. Scott, the father of the mighty man. How's that for a title?
Amen. Like it. Good morning, love you.
So, we've had a very, very specific technology today. Here we go. Now, we've got a couple things I'm going to do today. We're going to preach a word about your seed being mighty and your children. And we're talking about naming your seed. Now, there's a whole lot of people in this day that we live that have taken the preachers, the great preachers of our day, to task. And they've been offended by the teaching. And I don't know. You shouldn't be offended by the teaching that is in the Word of God. Because God's word is God's word, and it is going to come to pass.
Amen.
It is going to come to pass. You know, you could call it. See if you could find it that way.
Right.
Anyways, God's word is coming to pass no matter what. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Don't hit the wrong button at the right time. Now, this, what you guys saying, all right, let's say this right up front. I'm going to put a timestamp in there so you can go right to the point of the message. And get the understanding, be able to go right to the message. I got a whole bunch of technology happening all at the same time right now. And I'm having to put it all in the right place. Usually, that doesn't cause me any trouble at all. Oh, I don't know. That's all right. Don't worry about it. So, little challenge here. But it'd be all right. Now, here we go. Everything's in the right spot now. Now, last week, the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about name your seed. That's all right. I think I got all my technology in the right spot. All right, it's all in the right spot. So here we go. The purpose of this message, and I apologize for this 10 minutes of whatever this is taking me here. It doesn't usually take me that long to get this stuff to be in submission. However, here we go. The purpose of this series we got right here today is that you and I begin to see that everything, or not begin, continually see that everything on this earth is functioning from seed, time, and harvest. Right from the very beginning, God named everything that he wanted it to be. And he named the sun and the moon. He said, let there be great lights. So he made lights. Then he named them the sun and the moon. God did. And therefore, that's what they are. And the problem that we face in the day that we live today is people use their words for so many other things than creation and dominion. We use our words for just conversation, for fun, for laughter. And really, the most powerful force that any human has inside of their being, I mean, next to God Almighty, once you're born again, the most powerful force you have is the words you speak off of your mouth. Mm-hmm. That is the most powerful force you have is the words you speak off of your mouth, because you're a man created in God's image, given dominion on this earth. Your seed is mighty on this earth. And guess what? God Almighty is doing an almighty work in you, and he wants you on this earth proclaiming thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. The prayer, the Jesus prayer that he taught the disciples to pray. Now, let me say it differently. Jesus had the disciples say, how do we pray? So it's not the Lord's prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. The Lord was teaching the disciples how to pray. And so, and the greatest part of that is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth. So what do you have to do? You have to open up this Bible and you have to find out what God's word is and his will is on this earth. And then you got to get yourself involved doing that on this earth. Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples of them. That's our greatest assignment, is get you born again, get you filled with the Holy Spirit, get you baptized, and then begin to disciple you in the ways of God. Help you become disciplined in your understanding of God. Help you gain the disciplines of the kingdom. I need to be plugged in somewhere. I lost my power cord. There we go. Looked up and there's the battery. So today we're going to be talking about name your seed. And then part two of our title is, my seed is mighty on this earth. My seed is mighty on this earth. Now, my first seed that's mighty is that which came from my own body. I have a daughter named Jessica and a son named Joshua. And now from Jessica, I have three grandsons, turning into mighty men of God, Josiah, Micah, and Elijah. It doesn't matter if your life has been perfect or your life has been less than perfect. Did I say it? It doesn't matter. Because as soon as you find God, God begins to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. God begins to do it immediately. Now, that's why what comes off of your mouth about your life, whatever it is the most important words in all of history. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln. Thank God for Ronald Reagan, Winston Churchill, you know, Eisenhower, the great generals, what they call them, old blood and guts. Thank God for those men. And thank God they did their duty on this earth when they were here. Thank God for that. However, you and I right now need to find our place on this earth and begin to take that dominion that belongs to you and me. And then teach it to our children that they take dominion. And then not only teach it to your children, but then begin to share it with anybody around you, how they need to have dominion in their life and walk in victory everywhere you go. Good morning, Roger. Good to have you with us today, brother. Good to have you with us today. Now, let's get this stuff all in order. Let's begin with our opening prayer. Hallelujah. I got it right here. This, our faith confession we're making about God's holy word. So, I want you to get your Bible. Don't just listen to me read my Bible. You get your Bible. And you hold your Bible up. And you speak this out of your mouth. There's a lot of people that'd be like, well, Pastor, I'd just as soon let you speak over me. Well, I'm sure you would. And I'm glad that some of you would, because you don't have any control over your lips at all. And we don't need what you're saying to come to pass. We need what I'm saying to come to pass, because I'm saying you're mighty, you're blessed, and you're anointed by God. Ready? Say this with me about God's holy word. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am, the Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making this word come alive in my life today. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return and more. Where did "and more" go? In my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Say this next part. I am a spirit. I am in direct communion with God, my Father. This is my mind. No one tells me what I believe. Body, line up with the word of God and serve me perfectly all the days of my existence on this earth, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. And I don't know if you want to say it, but I'm going to say it. That is a powerful word. Now, the reason that these are powerful words like this is that we build this, all of these confessions, we build them right out of God's holy word. Psalmist said that the word is able to make you stand. The word of God is able to make you stand. And so this is powerful. Now, go with me now Our first verse today is Psalm, let's see, 123. I guess I better get my notes up. Psalm, what happened? Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Look at this. We're going to read the whole psalm, verses 1 through 5. A song of ascent of Solomon. This is Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I don't want my labor to be in vain. How about you?
Amen.
No. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We live in quite a city here. There's serious amount of things go on in this community every day. Would we figure 303 billion dollars goes through here or something every year? It's big, huge figure. That's a whole lot of thoroughfare. That's a whole lot of movement. But unless the Lord is watching the gates of the city, you and I are up in vain doing it. So if you're a prayer warrior and you pray over your church, over your ministry, over your family, over your community, we're right now we live in an apartment house, complex thing, and unless the Lord is watching over that, then you're trying to do it in your human strength. And what God's saying there, he's not saying don't stay up and watch. He's saying as you stay up and watch, realize you need me to be watching with you and hook you to me so that we can get the mission accomplished. Let's say last night you stayed up and you were praying over the city of Williston. Now, I already know this because I've already done it. Not on a Harley, but we're talking with Scott about his Harley this morning, and you could do this on a Harley. You can leave right here and go out 26 and get on the on 2. You can go down to 1804, and you can go across the bottom side of the city, across the river, follow 13B. What is it? I don't even know the name of the road. Anyways, follow Halliburton Hill Road.
Oh, yeah.
Follow it across the top of the hill. You can see the whole city down below. And you can take it down and turn at Loves and go around. And you can make a big loop of this city. And I've done it. And you can pray over the city. But my goodness, don't go do that all in your own strength. Make sure you're with God so that as you go around the city and you're speaking a word of prayer, you're in tune with what he's telling you to say right now. Why? Because you're going to speak the exact thing that's going on. Let's get it into our message for today. I have a daughter. She lives in California. I have a son. He lives in Michigan. I don't know what either of them are doing right now. You better have your stuff together. Right? Cicely Ann has Scott in Michigan. But where's Braden and Bryn and Olivia? Well, you may not know where they are and exactly what they're doing, but guess who knows exactly where they are? God Almighty knows exactly where they are. And when they were born, he wrote their name in a book, and that book's in heaven in their name, and he knows what he's doing on that book, writing their story. And of course, when you're young, you got your mind about what you're doing in your life, and you're filled with strength and virility, and you're outgoing and doing. And then, you know, the farther you go in life, the more you realize I better find somebody that knows something about life so I can figure out how to do this more effectively. You know how that goes. Like the old saying is, it's amazing how much smarter your mom and dad got the older you got. All of a sudden you realize they did have a little bit of sense. They might not have seemed like it when I was 15, but they got a lot of sense. So while you're praying for your children, you need to be able to say, God, show me what to pray. I'm in my kitchen right here. This is our kitchen. We've lived in this same apartment now for 5 years. Know what it is?
18, 6 years.
Almost 6 years. Oh, it is 6 years. Watch. If I'm standing here at the counter doing dishes, that's what it sounds like when Sister Ann's doing dishes and I'm on the phone with her. Well, when I'm standing there at the counter doing the dishes and I'm thinking of my daughter and her family and my son and his family and Scott, his family, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions can tell you how to pray. But that'll usually be dependent upon when the last time you saw your kids. Right? And so you ready? Your heart may be missing them. You might be feeling lonely. I haven't seen them. I haven't hugged my grandkids in a while. And on the inside, you're missing them. If you're not careful about how you pray, it might all go, I'm so sad. I haven't seen them forever. What kind of prayer is that? There's no faith in that prayer. So you might have seen them post something on the internet. And that might be affecting you. But the most important thing to pray is while you're standing here at the counter doing your dishes, this is our stove, Sister Ann stands here and cooks and stuff. More importantly than anything is that you get God watching the family, watching the city, watching your life, and you say, Holy Spirit, how do I pray for them today? Why? You know, Scott's with us today because he knows exactly what you're doing right now. And just so you know, he shows us. I love Brother Jesse to plan a story of when him and his drummer, and they took off and went across the border into Mexico to a bunch of bars and was just living like wild, wicked, sinful heathens in a strip bar. You ready? And the phone rings behind the bar. And the owner of the bar says, yeah, hello. And then he holds the phone. And he says, is there Jesse Duplantis here? And of course, His rock star name was Jerry Jackson, but his name is Jesse Duplantis. And the drummer's like, he just asked if you're his bar. How do you know who you are? He goes and picks the phone up, and it's Jesse's mom. She said, I see you in there, you wild heathen. You son of the devil. You're going to hell. I'm going to pray God burns the whole building down. And he's like, how did you know where I am? She said, Jesse, I told you. God will always show me where you are and what you're doing. I slammed the phone down and said to the drummer, we got to get out of here. Mama's going to burn this place down. Wait a minute. That's such a powerful story. His mom asked God for a son to be a preacher. And God said, it will be Jesse. Jesse was in the mob, was a rocker, was living wild, wild life. His mom said, are you sure it's Jesse? Why? He was so far out there. But as soon as God said to her, he's going to preach the gospel, guess what she said? You are preaching the gospel, and it ain't going to be any other way, because the Lord was watching my house. That's what this verse is we just read. Unless the Lord is guarding the city and watching the house, you labor in vain. Well, I don't want my labor to be in vain. How about you? I want all of my efforts to be worth something, to be valuable, and to be working. Now watch this. All of that from verse 2, and I wasn't even planning on saying it, but man, that's good stuff. I pray over my children. I pray over everyone who do this connected to us right here. I pray every day for God to restore the years of your life that the enemy believes he's stolen from you. Restore the years of these, my brothers and sisters that's with me today. Restore the years of their life and their family. Think about this. David was a mighty man of God, used by God to defeat the greatest enemy of his day, Goliath. David, the Bible says, killed his thousands, or his 10,000. David was a warrior like none other. David chased after God with all of his heart. And yet, when it came the one year, when the kings went out to battle, David stayed home. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. And when you get yourself where you're supposed to be, you're going to end up doing things you're not supposed to be doing. And what did he do? He was up walking around on the house that is on the top of his house, and he saw a naked lady bathing. She was where she was supposed to be. That's how you did it back then. They heated the water up, and the sun heated it up, and that's what it was supposed to be. And the king wasn't supposed to be up there looking for that. Well, he committed adultery, and then he murdered her husband. It's really bad to commit adultery. It's really bad to murder after you've committed adultery. And when Nathan the prophet came to David and said, you have sinned, David said, I have sinned. My God, forgive me for my sin. And God did. And if you go to Psalm 51, which is the psalm that David wrote when he was repenting of his sin and his murder and everything, it literally says in there, restore to Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold your generous spirit within me. David is saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, David didn't have the opportunity you and I did, but listen, the point is this. No matter what you've done, no matter what's happened in your life, every single day, pray the prayer, restore the years of my life. Say those words. Restore the years of my life. David in Psalm 51, when I tell you 12, said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Psalm 23, verse, he restores my soul. Make sure you get that verse. Psalm 23:3. And then let me give you one more restore verse. And that's the book of Joel. Let's, sure, we get these in the verse list. Psalm 51:12. And Psalm 23:3, and then Joel chapter 2, and I actually think I want to go verses 12 through 32. Joel 2, 12 through 32. I'm not going to read it all. Verse 20, it's the whole principle of God coming to the children of Israel saying, you're gone way out, you better fast and pray. And as soon as they turned their heart to God, God began to restore the years. And he makes this statement, verse 25. I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. God's whole thought is restoration, and then not just restoration, but standing you up and turning you in to a mighty man or woman wherever you are on this earth. He'll restore to you the years. Verse 26, you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied. You will. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And it says, my people shall never be put to shame. These are the restore verses. So our verse over here says, hold on a second here. Our verse in Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord is staying up with you when you're praying, you're staying up in vain. It seems like I'm going to be focused on this one thought today. All right. Verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Your children are a heritage, an inheritance from the Lord. You might say, no, I'm Billy, and that was Susie, and we had a kid. But God designed it that they be an inheritance to you. Isn't that something? You might say, yeah, but Pastor, my first kid was, it was just sin. There wasn't anything, nobody was planning anything. It was just, all right, I'll give you that. But they're also part of your inheritance, like an heirloom, like an estate. Your children are. And that word heritage in the Old Testament is used 200, or in the Bible is used 222 times. That's an important word. In the Bible, in God's holy word, the heritage, the inheritance of the Lord. Now think about it. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's why it's so wrong in the day we live for all the feminists to say it's just a mass of flesh. No. It is fruit of the womb. It's his reward. It's an inheritance. The greatest violation, one of the greatest violations in our day is the woman's movement teaching our children that a man's seed and a woman's vagina is for nothing more than just play and fun and sport. No. No, the womb, the fruit of the womb is the reward from God. You might say, man, what if I've messed it all up? This is the most wonderful thing, force, principle, factor about our God. Let's say you. We won't talk about your kids. Let's say you were the birth of a violent rape and your mom chose to keep you. Do you know that violent rape does not limit you for the rest of your life?
Amen.
It doesn't limit you. I got to tell the story. It's one of them great stories. I was born into a wonderful Christian family by my mom and dad. It was love. I was named on purpose because of the assignment of God. But what about somebody that doesn't have that happen in their life? There's a lady who runs a woman's shelter, a woman's ministry where women come to her houses, wherever they are. And they're discipled and trained in the ways of thinking and thought. And usually they're women that are having a problem with drugs or alcohol or what you call the eating
anorexia
or bulimia, or maybe they've been in the sex trade and they're just totally used up and they got to get themselves right. And it's called Mercy Ministry. Her name's Nancy Alcorn. Mighty woman of God. And she worked in the prison system in Tennessee and found Jesus and then realized, wait, the Bible tells you all kinds of things about how to help people. And she began to disciple women in prison. And she had one young lady, very, very promising young lady that just got in a bunch of trouble, got in prison. And while she was there, Nancy helped her find God. And when she was getting ready to be out, she said, what do I do when I go out? And Nancy said, go find the church, because the church will help you know how to walk with God. But wait, we can't just tell people to go find a church, because they'll go find something that's an absolute mess. And today, you can go find something that's run by a transvestite and it ain't about nothing except sex and homosexuality. So you can't just tell people go find a church anymore. Listen to this story. The girl got out, went to a church. They said, what's your past? She told them. They're like, there's nothing you can do. God could never use you. Your life is over. But she wrote a note when she committed suicide and said, I'm worthless. The church said so. And then they got the note to Nancy. And that's when Nancy said, I'm building a shelter. I'll never do that again. And she quit her job that day, walked away from the prison system, and said, God, give me your help. All right? Fast forward in her ministry 20-some years. She's got these women's ministry shelters now in Australia and England and 3 or 4 or 5 of them, whatever it is now in the United States. She's at a point, she's getting ready to open another one. She needs $100,000 to get it done. She's very sought after speaker and women's conference because she can help a woman go right to the core of what's wrong in their life and get it fixed. Any of you that are women that are listening today, I would encourage you, go to that ministry. It's called Mercy Ministry, Nancy Alcorn. And you don't have to go there to be a part of it. You can be delivered and set free right in your home. So anyways, she's on. She's like, well, I need $100,000. She's praying, talking to God about it. She's got a women's meeting in Las Vegas, California somewhere. She flies there, does it. It's a great meeting, but she's just tired. She gets the honorarium for doing the meeting, the financial honorarium. And she just figured God would just put it in there and it'd be enough. She'd come home with the check. She's tired, but she'd get the work of God. And she looks at the check and it's not enough. Well, you and I as men and women of God now have to say, wait a minute, God don't need my money and God don't need any of their money. God's got a plan. And, of course, she speaks her faith and says, thank you, Lord. This is like Sunday afternoon, and she's got to have the check on Monday morning, you know, like 12 hours away. She boards the plane. She sits down. I think she said she was by the window. And a man comes and sits down beside her, and she's a pretty lady, so it would be real easy for men to be hitting on her. She's pretty. And she said, wouldn't you know it, I'm tired and I want to sleep from California to Tennessee. And this guy wants to talk. And I don't want to talk. I just want to go to sleep. But, you know, it's wise to be wise, you know. And so he asks her what she does, and she tells him. He says, what are you doing out here? And she told him. And they talked and talked and talked. And at one point, when they were getting ready to get off the plane, He said, ma'am, you don't know this about me, but my mom was raped, and that's how I was conceived. And she had a woman in her life, like you, that helped her realize that this child would be valuable, and that's me. And he said, I'm a very successful businessman, and I've always told God that if you give me the opportunity, I'll help people like the one that helped my mom. And he wrote her a check for $100,000, sitting right there in the seat of the airplane. A man of God, build a business, multimillionaire. Even after his mother was viciously raped and a seed conceived him. And yet, who knows? I don't know the rest of the story, but you know, from that day forward, that man's going to be a partner with her. And who knows how much he's been able to do for that ministry. See, it doesn't matter what's happened to you. No matter who you are that's here today, it doesn't matter what's happened. What matters is how you deal with what happened to you. And if you will let God Almighty in and not keep him out because you're afraid of him. If you'll let God Almighty in, he'll begin to do something. Now, just in case Nancy Alcorn is listening this day in the future, because AI searches all the videos of the world and tells her every time her name is used. I told the story the best of my ability, Nancy. And if you need to correct me, call me and I'll correct the story. If you ever hear her tell the story, believe her story because it's true. I did my best to recount it to you. This is what I want you and I to get. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. God wants to be the watchman of your life. And he wants you to trust him that he sees it all. He is overseeing your life. He's got a pen. He's writing on the pages of your book with your name on it. Let's put those verses in this verse list. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. We'll make sure we get those on the verse list for today. Why? Because not only is the Lord watching the city, watching our state, watching our nation, the Lord is watching your life, and there's a book in heaven with your name written on it. Well, now there's a book in heaven with all of your children's names written on it. What is it you should name your seed? Well, Pastor, I already named him Billy or Bobby or Mary Sue, or in the day we live, who knows what people are naming their kids. My goodness sakes, whatever seems to be sound and right, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Maybe you named your kids all wrong, something weird and funny, or after some movie star or some wicked thing on the TV or in a movie. Start naming your seed today. My seed will be mighty on this earth. We're going to find that. Let's read the rest of Psalm 127. Children are a heritage, are an inheritance from the Lord. Begin to speak over your children. My children are an inheritance from the Lord. Want to say it with me? My children are an inheritance from the Lord.
Amen.
You say it. My children, an inheritance from the Lord. Well, Pastor, what if they're not my children, but I just adopted them? It doesn't matter if you adopted them or didn't adopt them. And they're calling you mom, dad, aunt, uncle, brother, whatever. You begin to say, they are an inheritance from the Lord. Verse 4, look what it says. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Your children are. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Of them what? Of the children. They're like an arrow in your bow that you can shoot them out in life. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but speak with their enemies in the gate. Do you see what God sees and how God thinks about your children? This is just one chapter, one set of five verses in the whole Bible about our children. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, we have the promise of our children to 1,000 generations. That's a long time. Pastor, I'm not going to live to 1,000 generations. Excuse me. You are going to live forever.
Amen.
Your children are going to live forever. It is of absolute importance that if you haven't been speaking over your children, that you begin to speak over your children so that you can have what it is the Bible says that you can have. Watch this. Proverbs 10, verse 1. Proverbs 10, verse 1. The proverb of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is grief for his mother. A wise son makes for a glad father. So what should you be naming your seed, even if you didn't give them a good name that they're named by? My son will be a wise son. My daughters will be wise daughters filled with wisdom and knowledge and grace. See, it's what you are saying out of your mouth that matters about your children. It doesn't matter what anybody else says to them, because somebody else's mouth has nothing to do with your children. And you need to be saying, it doesn't matter what anybody's speaking over my children. They will be mighty on this earth, and they will be wise and filled with wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me grab another verse here. I got to find this verse. Give me just a second. Isaiah 8:18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Isaiah 8:18. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders on this earth. Isaiah 8:18. Want to say it with me? Me and my children.
and my children.
Are for signs and wonders on this earth.
Signs and wonders on this earth.
Wait a minute. That's a tough one. When they're doing the exact opposite of what signs and wonders are on this earth. If you and I have not been speaking the words from our lips that they're for signs and wonders, and we're saying about our children, oh, you know my kids, they're just stupid. They just do dumb things all the time.
You can't those words.
I have a really good word for you. I wouldn't make that statement about your children another day, because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit of them. Now think about this. Your children belong to nobody else. When you stand in heaven, regardless of children that are estranged from you, if you've been a bad dad or a mom, get your stuff together. Get your mouth right. Begin to speak the word of God over your children. Why? Because the power of life and the power of death is right here in this tone. My children are so stupid. Well, you're the dad, and you just spoke. The most powerful person in their life just spoke destruction over them instead of life. I know. I can tell. I got people today going, oh, my Lord Jesus, I'm in trouble. I got a lot of digging up to do. Well, think about it. We went right out here today, and we tilled up this grass and put in a garden. And I got me a bag of seed here, almost. Got me a bag of seed. By the way, this is how many seeds are in one squash. This was a butternut, right? Mm-hmm. This is one butternut squash. Look at this. 343 seeds in one butternut squash. Counted them, dried them out and counted them. What's the point behind that, Pastor? Because that's how many seed is inside of your seed. Don't squander your seed. Sow your seed on purpose. You might say, I'm all done sowing that kind of seed, Pastor. I don't want no more trouble in my life. Well, now your seed has to be the seed of your mouth, speaking over your children. My children are an inheritance from God. My children are going to be mighty on this earth. My children are for signs and wonders on this earth because of God Almighty. And we will accomplish the perfect will of God in our family. Dr. Mark T. Barclay, my pastor, mighty man of God, came from a horrible family situation. Born in abject poverty in the city of Harrison, Michigan. Nothing good comes from Harrison. It's just a quiet, not even quiet. It's just a crazy little redneck up north town in Michigan. Party on the weekend. His dad got sick, and his dad was a logger and a trapper and a hunter, and he got sick, got cancer or something, and died when he was 10 years old. Now he's a young man without a dad and in a very alcoholic family. The doctor said to his mom, you don't get him off alcohol, he'll be dead by the time he's 18 because he's already an alcoholic at the age of 12. This is Dr. Mark T. Barclay. What's your point, Pastor? It doesn't matter where you are or where your children are. Begin today to say, restore the years of our life. My children and I are for signs and wonders on this earth. They are mighty, and the power of life is in my tongue, and I speak life over my children, over their children, over their children, and we will be a mighty force for God on this earth.
Amen.
See, words are free, but they're not cheap. Get that? Words are free, but they're not cheap. They carry great, great importance. And you, once you've given birth to children on this earth, whether or not you name them a good name at birth that's on their birth certificate, you can now name over them the names of God and the things of God right out of this Bible. And you can begin to understand how to walk in the paths of righteousness and lead your children to God. We'll add in this verse list, Job 33, verses 13 through 17. That's the verses that teach us that while we sleep in a dream, God speaks. I've been speaking this, the book of Job, over my children, over Sister Leanne's children. We've been speaking these words. And Brother Scott's son, Braden, had a dream. And he went to heaven in his dream. He's 10. I didn't tell God what kind of dream to give him. I just been saying, Braden is going to have dreams. Olivia is going to have dreams. Bryn is going to have dreams. Josiah and Micah and Elijah, they're going to have dreams. Joshua and Jesse and Andrew, you're going to have dreams. What am I doing? I'm naming my kids, and I'm declaring God Almighty is meeting with you in the middle of the night in your dreams. The power of life and death is in this tongue, my tongue. What are you saying over yourself and over them? Well, my next statement I make every night. Restore the years over our family, over their family. How do you know how big your family is? What's Sister Phyllis got? 80-some grand. Well, look at my mom. My mom has 93, I think it is, or 90. 94. My mom has 94 descendants from her down. 94 of them out there. You might say, man, Pastor, that's serious. Well, but what you don't know and I don't know is if we will just very diligently, very daily, no matter what, get these very specific words in our mouth and speak them over our lives. The power of life is in my tongue. Zoe. When I speak the word of God, that word comes alive and it pierces through the atmosphere. I love it. I can be in North Dakota and my daughter lives 2,000 miles that way and my son lives 1,500 miles that way. And I can speak over them, and bam, it happens. Look at Scott and Braden, Bryn, Olivia, you speak over them all the time. Remember Ronald Reagan? You ain't seen nothing yet. Right? Yeah, but Pastor, what if it's not like that? Wait, I'm going to tell you right now. I know three families right now. The dad and mom, or the dad or the mom, or whatever, it's just dynamics different. And one of their children are not talking to each other. And in the day we live, the psychologist, God help them, to whatever, they call it an estrangement death. When you've not heard one word out of your child for a year or two or three. I mean, I I meet people all the time, like, man, I haven't seen my sister in 15 years. I haven't talked to my mom in 20 years. You better fall on your face before God right now and repent of your wicked sins, because you are the son or the daughter. You go find your mom and dad and you start making that right with them right now. Because you're going to stand before Almighty God, your Father, and give an account of that. Pastor, they did me wrong. They hurt me. They may have done you wrong, or they may have hurt you and done very bad things to you. Get it right now while you can. Get it right now. Get it right now. You don't have to be their best buds. You don't have to move where they are and move in with them and all the rest of that. But you got to get it right. Because the only commandment in the Bible with a promise is honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on this earth. What does a son or a daughter do who will not honor his father or his mother? Your days may be long on the earth. That promise can't come to pass. Honor them. Buy him a birthday present. Yep. Buy him a Christmas present. Yep. Do good things for them. Talk to them on the phone. Yep. The day's coming when you're not going to be able to do it. Thank God we got to have Sister Leanne's dad, Brother Lee, here in our house with us last year. What a blessed time that was. And Sister Leanne got to spend day after day with him and run around town and go do all the stuff and say all the words that wanted to be said and needed to be said. So that the moment he crossed over into heaven, the words were said. Heart was clear. We waged a battle. We fought a good fight. We waged a war and a battle that we can win. And we did win. See, you're on this earth, and you still got a chance to change it. So get this mouth working. No matter what you hear about your loved one, nope, my seed is mighty on this earth. God is restoring the years. God is restoring the years. God is restoring the years. You know that really all you got to do in all of your life is start getting the word of God in there. And it'll fix things you didn't even ever think could get fixed. Because he restores the year. He restores the joy of your salvation. David said, he restores my soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. We studied it this week with Brother Andrew Womack a little bit. But your spirit, man, you are a spirit. Your spirit is wall-to-wall filled, like I said it. Good old Texas way of saying it. It's wall to wall filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What you got to do is get that Spirit of God in your spirit to be greater than your thoughts, greater than your mind, your will, and your emotion, and greater than your body. And as soon as you get it there, then you, the Spirit, are now in control of every part of your life. And you and your children are for signs and wonders in the day that we live. God wants you and your children to be mighty on this earth. In Jesus' mighty name. 1 hour of faith. Speak your faith every single day that you live. Speaking. We've got these verses in a verse list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sister Leanne's got a verse list. We'll post it in the family thread. If you're not a part of the family thread, I see we got 5 people watching on YouTube right now or some number. I encourage you, like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that you can be a part of our program whenever we go live. Send us a message. Send us an email. Our email address would be right there in the notes of this program on YouTube. And get a hold of us on Facebook or Messenger, and we'll send you this verse list because we want you to have it. so you can get these verses out and you can begin to study it again and you can begin to speak them. I would encourage you. I speak these verses every day, all day long, every time I think about my children. Let me say one more thing. I got to say this. Who thinks more thoughts about your children than you?
No one.
There's nobody. There's nobody on the face of this earth that thinks more thoughts about your children than you. Because from the moment of conception, you think about those children. Every single day of their life, you are thinking about their children. Make every time, let me see if I say this right. Every time your children come to your mind, speak the word of God. God is restoring the years that the locusts have eaten, because my people will never be put to shame. Me and my children are for signs and wonders on Israel. My children are an inheritance of the Lord, because literally words are so free that you can say they're so stupid and they never do it right. Or you can say, God is restoring the years for my children. God has written their name in their book, and that book is coming to pass in my children's life. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven in my children's life. And then it doesn't matter what's going on. God Almighty gets involved and changes it for his glory. If I could have thought, you know, listen to this. If I could have thought about a dream to give to Braden, I would have never thought that. No?
Mm-hmm.
See, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. He didn't say they couldn't be. He just said they weren't. He's asking you to move up into those ways with him and to be, get your thoughts to match his thoughts every day in Jesus' name. Well, I'm just going to end up preaching the message over again, and it's a good word. I encourage you to listen to this. Come back and listen to this over and over and over again. I encourage you to be very diligent. Very, 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 very diligent to study this and speak these words. I haven't always spoken these words. But when your kids are small, you don't think about all this stuff that goes out here today. My goodness sakes alive, today I'm saying, restore the years. My people will never be put to shame. In the day that we live, there's all kinds of mess that's going on. There's all kinds of mess that's going on. And no one has the authority over your children's life like you. The authority in your children's life like you have. And you have to, if you don't open your mouth and say it, you don't get it. You got to open your mouth. And you actually got to say the words in order for them to come to pass. And, you know, everything about God's life, God's word, the word of God, everything about that is dependent upon you speaking it. You can have everything in the whole world. You can have everything in the whole world. But if you don't speak it, it can't come to pass, because that's how it works. Now, I got to play a video for you. I want to play this, because Dr. Bartlett played this today, and I want you to see this. We are a part of this ministry, and last week, George and Gene Evans were at the ministry, and they're kind of like grandpa and grandma to these guys now. And they prophesied over that ministry, over their ministry. Well, we are very much a part of this ministry. Whenever you send your tithe in here.
We as in you too, not just us.
Right, right. Not just us, but you too. Because of the relationship, this is a spiritual father. I guess I would say this is my spiritual father. But he's also my pastor. So what they're getting ready to speak right here in this video, we're going to claim this as what God is saying to us also, because we are as much a part of this as what it is for this church. So I'm going to play that for you now, and I want you to be able to and realize God's speaking this to you and me. We'll help you find this and download it. Get it where you can keep it. Listen to it every day. I want you to think about this in context of our message here today, all right? Get everything in the right spot. This word over your kids. You ready? Can you see it? Got my volume up. Got that volume all the way up.
Wow.
How? How? My. That is a word.
My.
Oh, Jesus, what did I do? Okay, we got some beautiful Harlem music playing. Just enjoy the groove for a minute till I figure out what we got going on. Where did it go?
Hallelujah.
I like this group. This is a really good group. This is Dr. Winston's group.
Yeah.
At the end of every one of his messages, you can hear this guy play this. This man is playing this group right now. There you go. This man that's playing that, that's one of those tenor sax. I think that's what it is. Was told by his doctor he had some kind of a lung ailment. And gave him a what would be a life-threatening diagnosis. And he showed up at one of Dr. Winston's meetings. And Dr. Winston just called him out and said, come up here. I got to pray over you. And as he's praying over him, he's like, no, not only will this situation not happen, but you're going to play your musical instrument. And that man went from not being able to get his breath to playing what you just heard him playing. And like I say, it's a really good groove. So anytime you're just needing a good Christian groove, pull up one of Dr. Winston's messages right at the beginning. They always got this groove playing. And at the end. And you can probably even go on the bookstore and find the groove music if you want. I don't know what it's called, but he's one of the good members there. And it's one of them testimonies of God doing a mighty physical work inside of their body. I just like it. I've heard it so much. It's just part of my life. Now, welcome. Let's have our communion now like we do every day. I wanted to play that word for you. What you just saw was this Dr. George Evans, that man there, is 89 or 87? 89.
I think he's 89.
He's 89, she's 85. And he gave a tongue. He could see. I don't know. I know it because I'm seeing. You could tell as he was prophesying over the church, here comes the tongue. And he waved to his wife. She's got the interpretation. He gave the tongue. She gave the interpretation. And it's an amazing word for you and I to claim over our own ministry right here, this ministry, the community of faith. Why? Because we're a part of Dr. Barclay's ministry. This ministry just got assigned to go reach millions of people. We are a part of that reach, the million. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, you can go back and hear that again. It's on there. And we'll find a way to get it to you where you can listen to it regularly. It's what you do. When you get a prophetic word from God, you listen to it over and over and over and over again, because that's how you get, that's how the prophetic word begins to come to pass in your life. Here we go. Let's go now to the communion. Give me just a second here. Keep hearing the sound like the cat's playing with something online here. All right. Now, this is not the right communion verses. This one. There we go. Is this how we do communion here? Wow, look at the time. It's been a good day. We're going to read these verses out loud. You read them out loud right there at your house, wherever you are. And then we will pray the prayer of salvation. That way we know everybody's in the right standing with God. And then we'll receive the communion elements, get you the fruit of the vine and a piece of bread. That's what Jesus gave us the assignment to do. So let's do what Jesus said. If you want to have what God says you can have, you got to do what God gives you the assignment to do. And don't second guess it. Do what he says to do in Jesus' name. Here we go. Say this. Let's read these verses together. For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' mighty name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. And now, the prayer of salvation. There's no holiness in these words. This isn't the only prayer of salvation that can be prayed. This is the prayer of salvation God gave me for this group of believers. You pray this with me. It's designed on purpose. Hi, Kathy Angaroni. It's designed on purpose to lead you and me into the life of being a believer. Here we go. Everybody pray it right out loud. Say it right out loud. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16,
I
choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say this. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. Now that says pause and shout. So what do we say? Hallelujah. You made it in the door. And you're now a member of the body of Christ. Here's what just happened. Darkness just turned to light on the inside of you because Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live on the inside of you. I've been wanting to put this in here for a while. I can type, really. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to live on the inside of you. Your fear, author and the finisher of your faith, has come to live on the inside of you. Think about that. That's why you get to live a good life. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You might say, that doesn't even make sense. It doesn't matter if it makes sense, but it happened. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Glory be to God. You can find that, John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 8, Galatians chapter 2. And then there's our email address, our website. We recommend and encourage you to hit the bell, like, subscribe, and hit the bell. It's about you being able to be connected. You can search the name, my name, Samuel J. Cottle, and you can search any subject on the YouTube search, and it will come up with many messages that will be a blessing to you. He rewards those who diligently seek him. We want to help you walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Remember, you can screenshot this as we are reading it so you have it, or this is actually on the website also. Here we go. Hold your communion elements up and let's pray this. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood
poured out for me.
I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Now, you'll notice I write this in here randomly. Pray this out loud. Because there's a lot of people that just pray this silently in their mind. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Christian life, is a spoken and out loud, speak it out loud religion. Don't just think this. Speak it. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Jesus, for your broken body, producing life in our lives. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this out loud with us. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away,
and now
all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church, without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the juice together. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Sing it with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, there you go. It's a little bit more than an hour today, but that word by Dr. Gene Evans in there, that's a good word.
Yeah.
And we'll get a timestamp put in there where you can find it, and a timestamp put in there where you can study this word again. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You are anointed by God. There's nobody else in your life, in your children's life, who has the ability to speak over them like you. Name your seed mighty. Name your seed. They're for signs and wonders. Name your seed. They are restored. God's restoring the years. Name your seed. They will never be put to shame. Seed is an inheritance in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Till we see you again tomorrow morning. It's what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
And then just in case they try to cut us off, we're going to say a little bit more, and we'll say it again.
Jesus is
the Lord.
And will always be.
And he will always be, no matter what man does. We sure do love you. It's good to see you, Kathy. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And Joey and Bella and Matt. God bless your whole family. I forgot your dog's name, but Harley and Skinner, whatever they were. We call you blessed in Jesus. See you soon.
Waited until it was done.
All right, I got to find my cell phone.
Did you set it in one of those boxes once you carried them out to the garage?
I think I left it in the truck.
Really?
Yeah. Let's get... Do you remember what my Apple password is?
I'll look and see. It's a lot of passwords I have in here, but I don't think that that's one I ever knew. It isn't Samuel 1963.
I don't think so.
Well, I have this note that says Sam computer and tax bot password, and that's just plain Samuel 1963 tax bot email user.
Tax bot, that's like long, 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 long time ago. That's not anything of value to us now. Well.
Oh, is that from when we were trying to get 2015's taxes?
Yeah, and I had used it when I was doing the Patriot Guard and all that stuff, but it was an app.
Verizon, my Apple ID. Yada, 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 7. Must have tried to reset that about 72 times before I got there. Young Living. Oh, my goodness. Young Living, really. questions. MTC license plate.
I found it.
Oh.
My Apple ID is my email address, and the password is !! Isaiah 54:17.
Okay, say it again.
The password is !! Capital I, S-A-I-A-H.
All capitals?
No.
Or just I? S-A-I-A-H.
54:17.
Oh, okay. That's the password.
Yep, it's in the truck. That's amazing. Take you right to it.
All right. Well, no, thank you, Jesus.
Just glad I didn't wash it.
Something.
112.
Thank you.